a late night car ride, a number one single, brain surgery, and a beloved Christmas song. I'm Randy on the radio, and this is the 1021. The year was 1994. Yeah, it's been a minute. Number one movie at the box office was Maverick. The number one TV show at the time was Seinfeld. And number one on the country charts was a song called Your Love Amazes Me. And right now I have got the legendary John Barry on the line with me. Hey, John.
How you doing?
Oh, we're good. We're good. How are things with you today?
Well, I'm sitting on the back patio enjoying this breeze with the warm sunshine. It don't get much better.
Oh, it sounds like your day's better than mine right now.
Come on.
So, John, it's hard to believe 30 years since Your Love Amazes Me hit number one on the chart. It seems like yesterday.
Exactly. It's crazy to me to think it's been that long. But I think about it, my son Sean was just born a couple of weeks before that. And it's hard to believe he's 30 years old.
Oh, man, I've got one in that age range too, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So tell, you'd been kicking around, I know, for Nashville for a while before that first album, before that John Barry. Let me rephrase that. You had several releases or album releases that you had done independently before the John Barry album came out. So let's get into that big break you had there with the album John Barry.
Yeah, I did six albums before I ever went to Nashville to try and get a record deal. That all came about because I was living out. I grew up in Atlanta, and I recorded my first three albums in the basement of my folks' house.
Wow!
And then my fourth album, I did a little studio there in Atlanta, and then I moved to Athens, Georgia, and started playing some clubs up there and developed quite a following in Athens. And I recorded an album when I lived there, and then. While I was still living there, I went to Nashville in 1986 and recorded my last independent at the time called Saddle of the Wind. And I was playing clubs in Athens, Georgia, and doing really well. My wife and I got married in 1988, and at that time I was living, when we got married, when we were dating, I was living way out in the country and had 5 acres of land and had a little cabin on it, and we ended up buying the land next to ours and land next to that and more land next to that and land across the street. And by the time we left there, we had a little over 150 acres. And I was driving home late one night in 1992, February of 1992, playing club in Athens. And DJ said, turn the radio up, y'all. Got a brand new song from Joe Diffie. And he played the song Ships That Don't Come In. I love Joe Diffie now.
Oh, yeah.
And he sang that song. He sang the songs and that line in the song. He said, and to those who stand on empty shores and spit against the wind, and to those who wait forever for ships that don't come in. It hit me like a freight train. It occurred to me that, you know, maybe that's all it'd ever be, is a guy singing clubs in Athens, Georgia. That's as big a fish as I'll ever be, you know.
I could tell he'd had a tough life by the way he sat and stared. And me, I'd come to push and shove, so I pulled up a chair. We talked of roads untraveled, we talked of love untrue, of strings that come unraveled. We were kings and kindred fools. And just when I'd hit bottom, that old man raised his glass and said, at least we've had our chances. There's those who never have. So here's to all the soldiers who have ever died in vain. The addicts ain't locked up in themselves, the homeless down on Main. To those who stand on empty shores and spit against the wind, and those who wait forever for ships that don't come in. Said it's only life's illusions that bring us to this bar, to pick up these old crutches and compare each other's scars. 'Cause the things we're calling heartaches, hell, they're hardly worth our time. We bitch about a dollar when there's those without a dime. And as he ordered one last round, he said, I guess we can't complain. God made life a gamble, and we're still in the game. So here's to all the soldiers who have ever died in vain, the insane up in themselves, the homeless down on Main. To those who stand on empty shores and spit against the wind, and those who wait forever for ships that don't come in, and those who wait for ships that don't come in.
And I got home and I woke Robin up and I told her about this song of Joe's through tears, basically. And she said, well, she said, I know you've dreamed bigger than that. I said, yeah, I did. And I got real settled here. And so we sat up all night, came up with a plan to go to Nashville every 45 days for a year and do these little industry showcases, invite people to come hear what I was doing, see if I could get some attention. And we did one in spring of 1992. And we sent out 250 invitations, and nobody came but one guy. And it was the guy that mattered. Mm. And Herky Williams came, and Herky called me the next morning and said, hey, come over. The president of Capitol Records wants you to come over for brunch. And we were already back in Athens. And so we went back a few weeks later to a private showcase with Jimmy Bowen and walked out of that meeting with a record deal.
Wow.
And the next year we were recording, and 93 we were getting the album all together. And then first single came out in 93, then Kiss Me Car came out after that. Got to the top 15, and then January of 94, they released Your Love Amazes Me and had my first number one record that spring.
I've seen the seven wonders of the world. I've seen the beauty of diamonds and pearls. But they ain't nothing, baby. Your love amazes me. I've seen a sunset that make you cry, and colors of a rainbow reaching across the sky. The moon in all its phases, but your love amazes me. Don't you ever doubt this love of mine. You're the only one for me. You give me hope, you give me reason, you give me something to believe in forever.
got down on my knees out in the pouring rain. But only you could save me. Your love amazes me. Don't you ever doubt this love of something to believe in. Forever faithfully, your love amazes me.
Now, when you first heard the demo, I'm sure, of Your Love Amazes Me, what was your first thoughts on that? And I know it's probably hard to remember because I can't remember what I had breakfast this morning. But what was your first thoughts on that?
I said, I'll take that one. Thank you very much.
Ah, it affected you on that level.
It was written by Chuck Jones and Amanda Hunt Taylor. And we worked that song out and started playing it in clubs in Athens. And you understand, I was playing in college clubs where there's 400 college students roaring. And that was our point. Our point was to make it as much fun as they could possibly have and not get in too much trouble. And but when we play that song, the place would just get quiet. And we knew we had something. And so I called the record label folks that I was working with, and I said, well, I'll take, you know, I said, I want to be sure we got that one. They said, well, I hate to tell you, but Tanya Tucker's putting it on her new album.
Ooh.
I'm like, daggone it. I said, well, if something happens and she doesn't use it, let me know.
Don't you ever doubt this love of mine. Cause you're the only one for me. You give me hope, you give me reason. You give me something to believe in. For
she turned, and I want to be first in line to get it. And so she turned her record in 2-3 weeks later, and Your Love Amazes Me wasn't on it. So yeah. I feel really fortunate that I got to record that song, and folks who responded to it. It's a beautiful piece of music. I was doing a show in Texas just the other night, and after the show, this girl came and hugged me, and she said, John, I'm Amanda Hunt Taylor. I was a daggone girl.
Wow.
I hadn't seen her in a long time. But she wrote that song with Chuck. She got engaged years ago. Her husband had asked her to marry her and for her to marry him. And that's when she came up with the idea of Your Love Amazes Me. And she and Chuck wrote it. And I was a lucky guy who drew the card to get to record it for you. So.
And that shows the test of a great song right there, in that it's been, 30 years, and that still affects people. Even the lady who wrote it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it's been a remarkable piece. And, you know, I don't think that it mattered that I sang it. I think Tanya would have had a hit with it. I think anybody would have had a hit with it. I think it's just that great a song that people would have responded to that melody and to those lyrics. So.
It is a career-defining song, but you didn't let that one you didn't just sit on your laurels. I mean, you've had a lot of great songs after that, and I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the iconic, I guess that's the word I'm looking for, iconic version you did of Oh Holy Night.
Oh, wow.
Because
I appreciate that. Thank you.
That Would I be wrong to say that that has been the genesis of the Christmas tours that you do every year?
Yeah, that song is really was the catalyst for it all. And, you know, I recorded that song. You know, it's really funny. You know, Your Love Amazes Me was my first number one song I had on May 10th of 94. And it was number one on R&R. Remember that Radio and Record report?
Radio and Records, oh yeah.
Yeah, Radio and Records. And it came out as number one record on Billboard about 2 weeks later. But on May 10th of 94, it was my first number one record on R&R. And that's the morning I had brain surgery.
Oh.
I know that's really weird, isn't
wow.
it? Wow. And, well, we had already scheduled for me to go in during fanfare in June and record a couple of Christmas songs and just see what we had, because we've been talking about Christmas. We've been doing a Christmas show at our church in Athens for years. And Chuck Howard, he said, you know, I'm a producer. He said, we really ought to record a couple of them and see what we got. So we scheduled it for June 8th of 1994. Well, I had brain surgery on May 10th. We kind of forgot about it, about the recording session. And Chuck called Robin, my wife, and said, hey, we got this recording session on the bus. We're going to cancel it. And I said, no, don't cancel it. I need the distraction. So on May 8th of 1994, June 8th of 94, we went in and recorded O Holy Night and O Come Emmanuel. And we captured something really remarkable. I mean, those are beautiful songs in their own right.
Right.
But to be in the recording studio recording O Holy Night, this beautiful song. And it was so emotional because a month earlier, I was going through brain surgery. And matter of fact, Connie Ellis was a world-class violinist who did the beautiful violin parts on that record. Her violin kept going out of tune because she said the tears were falling off her face and landing on her violin while she was playing and making it go out of tune.
Wow.
And it's not something you can reproduce or manufacture or make. It's just one of those things that happen. Crazy to think it was all in that same time frame. You know, brain surgery, number one record, less than 30 days later we're recording O Holy Night, and that song, people have just felt it, you know, over the years. They spin that record on the radio and people feel it, and it's turned into quite a tour over the years. And each year we do about 20 cities. I think right now we got 12 on the books, but it's just April, so we'll probably get another 6 or 8 more, and we'll do around 20, 22 cities this year. And it's always a real blessing to go out and just share what we celebrate Christmas being the birth of Christ, and it's a great time. It's a wonderful tour of dates.
Well, I can't even make it through Christmas without hearing your version of O Holy Night. I'll just tell you that. I don't mind telling you that right now.
I appreciate that. Sure. When you listen to it this year, and that old recording that was done in 1994, the album came out in 95, listen to that record and just see if you don't hear something a little, even though it's big and bold and all that, see if you don't hear something just a little fragile.
It's going to hit different.
Yeah, something where there's just something different about it. And I, and knowing that story, maybe you'll feel it.
Wow, absolutely. You got a couple of big shows. I mean, a lot of big shows. I've got your tour dates sitting here in front of me. But a couple of big shows you got coming up in June. And one of those, June 1st in Fort Payne, Alabama, a little show called June Jam.
Come on.
Is this your first June Jam?
I think it is. I don't think I've ever played it. And they've asked me to come do an acoustic set. And so that'll be kind of fun to do. And I don't know if it's on the big stage or a side stage or whatever. It don't matter to me. Just that Randy and the guys that invite me to come, I'm tickled. So I'm looking forward to being there.
Well, I know back in the day, Jeff used to host a little songwriters pool there.
Yeah. You
know, aside from the regular festival, I'm sure they've still got that going on in his memory as well.
Yeah, yeah. And what a great guy, great guitar player. And he loves songwriters now.
Oh, he's incredible. He's incredible. One of our guys at the radio station used to get to go over there all the time. He always made sure he was there for that and visit with Jeff. So, yeah, that was a talent that won't be matched anytime soon.
No, good guy.
And we also want to mention June 5th, Country for a Cause. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on with that?
Well, yeah, that's just something that T.G. Shepherd and his wife have hosted for years. Kelly Lane.
Right, Kelly Lane.
So they're hosting it, and they've been doing it for 10 years. I've done it a couple of times, and they're just super. They're the sweetest people on the earth, I'm telling you. That is a fine couple, and I love getting to know them a little bit over the years. But it's Vanderbilt has a children's hospital there, and it benefits that children's hospital, and it just couldn't be a better event. And they're just great hosts, and it's at a great venue, Third and Lindsley. It's a real intimate venue. Everybody's packed in there. I mean, they pack them in there like sardines, man. It's a great audience. It's a good time. I always have a great band backing people up. It's a lot of fun.
Well, we'll be looking forward to that and other great shows you got coming up. I just happened to notice it here, the Sunday Morning Country coming up on June 9th. That's always a big one right there, too. So.
Oh, yeah. That's always the Grand Ole Opry House at Sunday Morning Country. And that's a lot of fun to be a part of. And it's a great time of uplifting music.
Anytime you get to be at the Opry House, that's got to be a thrill. Stand on that circle. Well, John, I know you got a lot going on, and once again, happy anniversary for that first number one, and thanks for the story on Oh Holy Night. Like I said, it's going to definitely hit different this year.
Come on. I appreciate that. I appreciate you letting me be on the radio with you, and look forward to seeing you soon, I hope.
Hey, we're looking forward to it, too. Once again, our guest today, John Barry. Your Love Amazes Me, Oh Holy Night, Kiss Me in the Car. Oh, I could just go on and on and on. I think about it all the time. Standing on the Edge of Goodbye. I could just keep going with just naming hit songs. And it has been my honor and my privilege to talk with you today.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it very much.
And that's going to put the wraps on another edition of the 1021. I'm Randy on the radio. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, follow us on Facebook at the 1021. That's THETEN21 on Facebook. And let us know who you'd like us to chat with right here on the show. Thanks for listening to the 1021.